Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome again to another show. You are now on Painted Green. This is episode 5. I'm your host, Tony Smith. Thank you guys for listening in. And the name of today's show is Criminal Recommendations Sent to the DOJ, North Korea and South Korea in their 65-year war. Thank you guys for listening in. I want to thank everybody listening in via blogtalkradio.com/thegreennewsnetwork. Thank you guys for listening in. And we'd like to thank everybody listening in at paltalk.com and our group page or on the chat. Thank you guys for listening in there. I want to thank everybody listening in via Skype at our Skype page. I want to thank you guys for listening in. Also on Podbean, thank you guys for listening in as well as on Speaker. We are being carried at 105.9 in Urbana, Illinois. So thank you guys for listening in, if you are listening in. Again, we hope to expand and go into satellite radio as well as get some more radio stations throughout the country to, take on our broadcast. We definitely appreciate it. Everybody from Facebook, thank you guys for listening in from the live stream. Again, I'm in Facebook jail, as usual, because I was posting this breaking information and got put in Facebook jail, so go figure, right? Want to thank everybody listening via YouTube on our YouTube live stream. Thank you guys for listening in as well. Via our Ustream, thank you guys for listening in from that site. We greatly appreciate it, as well as Daily Motion, BitChute, and Periscope. All of you guys, thank you for listening in via those outlets, as well as our emblem live feed on MeWe. Want to thank you guys for listening in. We're going to add one on Gab, Minds, and Stemit, and as well as Instagram. We're also broadcasting in Google Hangouts. So if you want to go to Google Hangouts, you can see the broadcast there as well. So thank everybody for listening in wherever you are via the internet and radio. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the situation as far as the criminal recommendations that was sent to the DOJ by the congressman. And we have links to this. So if you want a link, just, put in the comments. If you're listening in from Blog Talk or wherever you're listening in from, just put in the comments that you want this information and we'll give you the link. So this is from the Congress of the United States. This was on April 18th, so this broke just today. The Honorable Jeff Sessions. So it's to the Jeff Sessions and the Attorney General. So it was to the the Department of Justice. Okay. So I'm just going to read it to you guys. How's that? Dear Attorney General Sessions, Director Wei, and Mr. Huber. Director Wei is the FBI director. We write to refer the following individuals for investigation of potential violations of federal statutes. In doing so, we are especially mindful of the dissimilar degrees of zealousness that has marked the investigations into former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and the presidential campaign of Donald Trump, respectively. Because we believe that those in positions of high authority should be treated the same as every other American, we want to ensure that the potential violations of law outlined below are vetted appropriately. Former FBI Director James Comey. On July 5th, 2016, Comey made a statement on the investigation of Secretary Hillary Clinton's use of her personal email system, during which he stated there is evidence that they were extremely careless in their handling of very sensitive, highly classified information. He went on to say, although there is evidence of potential violations of the statutes regarding the handling of classified information, our judgment is that no reasonable prosecutor would bring such a case. Incredibly, this judgment appears to have been made prior to interviewing Secretary Clinton and as many as 17 key witnesses, including Clinton's closest aides. Decision to not seek charges against Clinton's misconduct suggests improper investigative conduct, potentially motivated by a political agenda. Accordingly, we refer James Comey to DOJ for potential violations of 18 U.S.C. 1505 and 151.5b. In addition to his handling of the Clinton investigation, Comey engaged in questionable conduct via President Donald Trump. As reported by the New York Times, Director Comey wrote memoranda detailing alleged conversations between himself and President Trump, creating a paper trail for documenting what he perceived as the president's improper efforts to influence a continuing investigation. The article reports that Comey created similar memos, including some that are classified, about every phone call and meeting he had with the president. As detailed in a January 3, 2018 letter to Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein from the Honorable Charles E. Grassley, Chairman of the Senate Committee on the Judiciary Committee, staff reviewed the memoranda created by former Director Comey in a sensitive, compartmented information facility due to the classified nature of the majority of the memos. Of the seven memos, four were marked classified at the secret or confidential levels. At a June 8, 2017, a U.S. Senate Select Committee on Intelligence hearing, Comey stated, I asked a friend of mine to share the content of the memo with the reporter. Chairman Grassley's aforementioned letter further notes that Professor Daniel Richman of Columbia Law School was the friend and that Mr. Comey provided him with four of the seven memoranda, encouraging him to detail the memos to the press. In light of the fact that four of the seven memos were classified, it would appear that former Director Comey classified information when sharing these memos with Professor Richman. Accordingly, we refer James Comey to DOJ for potential violations of 18 U.S.C. 641, 18 U.S.C. 793, and 18 U.S.C. 1924A. Furthermore, President Trump has raised concerns with former Director Comey misleading Congress under oath in his decision not to charge former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton regarding her use of a private email server for official government communications. As reported by the Washington Post on May 2, 2017, Comey circulated a draft statement on his decision. Comey sends an email to Andrew McCabe, his deputy, James A. Baker, the FBI general counsel, and James Rubicki, his chief of staff, with a subject heading of mid-year exam. This was internal FBI code for the Clinton investigation. The body of the email was redacted by the FBI, but it appeared to have contained a draft of his statement on the conclusion of the Clinton case. At that point, 17 interviews with potential witnesses had not taken place, including the Clinton and her chief of staff, according to the Senate Judiciary Committee. Furthermore, on September 28, 2016, during a hearing before the House Judiciary Committee, former Director Comey replied after following Representative John Ratcliffe of Texas question on the timing of Comey's decision. Director, did you make the decision not to recommend criminal charges relating to classified information before or after Hillary Clinton was interviewed by the FBI on July the 2nd? Finally, in an April 28, 2017 letter to former Director Comey, Chairman Grassley stated that there appears to be material inconsistencies between the description of the FBI's relationship with Mr. Steele that you then FBI Director Comey did provide in your briefing and information contained in Justice Department documents made available to the committee only after the briefing. Accordingly, we refer James Comey to DOJ for potential violations of 18 U.S.C. 1621 and 18 U.S.C. 1001. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, a lawyer representing the Clinton campaign and the Democratic National Committee, paid Washington firm Fusion GPS to conduct search research that led to the Steele dossier, according to an October 24, 2017 report in the Washington Post. Accordingly, for disguising payments to Fusion GPS on mandatory disclosures to the Federal Election Commission, we refer Hillary Clinton to DOJ for potential violations of 52 U.S.C. 30121 and 52 U.S.C. 30101. Former Attorney General Loretta Lynch. With regard to former Attorney General Loretta Lynch, we raised concerns regarding her decision to threaten the reprisal, the former FBI informant who tried to come forward in 2016 with insight into the Uranium One deal. Accordingly, we refer Loretta Lynch to the DOJ for potential violations of 18 U.S.C. 1505 and 1515B. Former Acting Director of the FBI, Andrew McCabe. With regards to former Acting Director of the FBI, Andrew McCabe, as reported by the New York Times, Attorney General Jeff Sessions has said that during the internal Hillary Clinton investigation, Mr. McCabe lacked candor, including under oath, on multiple occasions. The report went on to say that fireable offense, and Mr. Sessions said that career apolitical employees at the FBI and Justice Department agreed that Mr. McCabe should be fired. Furthermore, the DOJ Office of the Inspector General recently released a February 2018 misconduct report titled "A Report of Investigation of Certain Allegations Relating to the Former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe," confirming four instances of McCabe's lack of candor, including three instances under oath, as well as the conclusion that Mr. McCabe's decision to confirm the existence of the Clinton Foundation investigation through an anonymously sourced quote violated the FBI and DOJ's media policy and constituted misconduct. Accordingly, we refer Andrew McCabe for potential violations of 18 U.S.C. 1001, 18 U.S.C. 1621, and 18 U.S.C. 1505. FBI agent Peter Strzok and FBI counsel Lisa Page with regard to counterintelligence FBI agent Peter Strzok and senior FBI lawyer Lisa Page. We raised concerns regarding their interference in the Hillary Clinton investigation regarding her use of her personal email server. As the Wall Street Journal reported on January 22, 2018, following the Justice Department's second release of text exchanges between Strzok and Page, the latest text showed the FBI also eliminated evidence that Mrs. Clinton compromised high-level communications. The report provides the following alarming specifics. Among others, Mr. Strzok texts Mrs. Page to tell her that, in fact, senior officials had decided to water down the reference to President Obama to another senior government official. By the time Mr. Comey gave his public statement on July 5th, Mr. Obama and another senior government official had disappeared. Accordingly, we refer Peter Strzok and Lisa Page for potential violations of 18 U.S.C. 1505 and 1515B. And FBI personnel connected to the complication of documents on alleged links between Russia and then presidential candidate Donald Trump, known as the Steele dossier, including but not limited to former director, FBI Director James Comey, former acting director of the FBI Andrew McCabe, former acting Attorney General Sally Yates, and former acting Deputy Attorney General Dana Baudier. With regards to the Steele dossier, we raised concerns regarding the presentation of false and unverified information to the Foreign Intelligence Service Court in connection with the former Trump aide Carter Page warrant application to conduct surveillance through the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. As Representative Devin Nunes, chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, states in a March 1, 2018 letter to Attorney General Jeff Sessions, former and current DOJ and FBI leadership have confirmed to the committee that unverified information from the Steele dossier compromised an essential part of the FISA application related to Carter Page. Accordingly, we refer all these to DOJ and all DOJ and FBI personnel for signing the Carter Page warrant application that contains unverified and or false information for possible violations of 18 U.S.C. 242 and 18 U.S.C. 1505 and 1515B. Thank you for your attention to these matters. Sincerely, Ron DeSantis, Andy Biggs, Dave Bratt, Jeff Duncan, Paul A. Gosar, Matt Gates, Andy Harris, Jody Heiss, Claudia Tenney, Todd Rokita, Ted Yoho. All of these congressmen have signed this, and it has been sent. So we await the outcome. Some good news, brothers and sisters. It works, hopefully. Hopefully. We'll see what happens. But all of that, basically what this is the it's going to be an explosion. And this is the beginning, the eye of the storm. Because this one thing can rip the government completely wide open. We'll see what happens, and we'll see if they let it ride out. But that is something else. I can't believe those congressmen actually did that. That is something new that we have, that these Congress people actually did what was right. So good showing. To the next topic is North Korea and South Korea seek to end their 65-year war. That's an amazing feat. That is a blow to globalism and planetary slavery, and that is a win for individualism and nation state sovereignty. So that is awesome news. The policy before Trump was the policy of appeasement. So if you just look at a lot of things, either the globalists are changing their place, or Trump is actually an independent who is trying to move through their web without being killed, scathed, or harmed. But he is a psychopathic, narcissistic person. So we'll see. We still have to keep pushing what we're pushing, which is breaking up the duopoly and going to the Green Party and voting green. That's the whole thing. That's how you win. So that's it on that. So North Korea and South Korea in their 65-year war. Let's hear what President Trump had to say when he was in a meeting with, I believe, the Chinese president.
In the entire international community.
Well, thank you very much. Many of the world's great leaders request to come to Mar-a-Lago and Palm Beach. They like it. I like it. We're comfortable. We have great relationships. As you remember, we were here and President Xi of China was here. And when we do it, it was originally built as the Southern White House. It was called the Southern White House. It was given to the United States. And then Jimmy Carter decided it was too expensive for the United States. So they fortunately for me gave it back and I bought it. But we are, who would have thought it was a circuitous route, but now it is indeed the Southern White House. And again, many people want to be here. Many of the leaders want to be here. They request specifically. North Korea is coming along. South Korea is meeting and has plans to meet with North Korea to see if they can end the war. And they have my blessing on that. And they've been very generous that without us and without me in particular, I guess, you would have to say that they wouldn't be discussing anything, including the Olympics would have been a failure. Instead, it was a great success. They would have had a real problem. But as you know, North Korea participated in the Olympics and it made it. Really, it was quite an Olympics. It was quite a success. That would not have happened. And they do have my blessing to discuss the end of the war. People don't realize the Korean War has not ended. It's going on right now, and they are discussing an end to the war. So subject to a deal, they would certainly have my blessing, and they do have my blessing to discuss that. Japan and ourselves are locked, and we are very unified on the subject of North Korea. We will probably be, depending on the various meetings and conversations, we'll be having meetings with Kim Jong-un very soon. It'll be that'll be taking place probably in early June or a little before that, assuming things go well. It's possible things won't go well or we won't have the meetings, and we'll just continue to go along this very strong path that we've taken. But we will see what happens. Tomorrow we'll have further discussions on trade, on North Korea, on our military. Japan is buying a tremendous amount of military equipment from the United States, which is good. And as you know, we're buying a lot of cars and a lot of other things from Japan. But we are each buying a lot, but we still have to talk about trade, and the Prime Minister understands that. We're going to sneak out tomorrow morning and play a round of golf if possible. And if we have the time, when I was in Japan, the Prime Minister took me out to, and we played with a great golfer, Matsuyama, yes. Right? Matsuyama. Mm. He's one of the top three or four golfers in the world. And I always thought I was okay at golf, but then I realized we're not so good. So he was really great and very special. And I also, just in ending, I want to congratulate you. It wasn't Matsuyama.
Okay, I just wanted you guys to get the gist of it. So that's President Trump saying, okay, yeah, I agree, you guys should go ahead and do it. So you heard what he said in that regard. So now let's listen to, now this, that was 2 days ago. Now this was yesterday. And today it was reported, and there's no formal reports from MSM because they're against this. They're against North Korea and South Korea getting peace. They're against it. So you probably won't hear much of it in the mainstream media. But they have declared officially that they ended the 65-year war, and they're going to officially declare between their peoples in the coming days. But the war is over, brothers and sisters, so we can breathe a sigh of relief that the war is over, and then the next step is to get the two peoples, and North Korea has a great situation to where they can get more resources into the country, and North Korea can actually open up to the world now, and the suffering of the people of North Korea can end. But at the same time, it is very volatile situation in North Korea, considering these people have been isolated for 65 years. And the world has changed dramatically within the last 65 years. So we'll see how all this stuff unfolds. It's going to be a very interesting. So stay tuned. We'll continue to report on it. We'll also report on it on the War Report, if you guys ever check out that show as well. So let's take a listen to this clip, and then we'll talk about it. Let's listen.
Let's go to Chief White House Correspondent John Roberts, who's traveling with the president in West Palm Beach, Florida. John.
Dana, good afternoon to you. In this news that South Korea and North Korea are talking about, the idea of possibly burying a hatchet that has existed since the end, or at least the calling of a ceasefire at the end of the conflict on the Korean Peninsula, hit just as Larry Kudlow, the chief economic advisor, and Matt Pottinger, who is the president's point person on East Asia affairs at the NSC, were briefing the press. Shinzo Abe, who the president is going to meet with later this afternoon, has got some real concerns about a meeting between Kim Jong-un of North Korea and the president, worrying that when the president cuts some sort of deal to denuclearize the Korean Peninsula, if that is possible, that Japan's interests may not be fully taken into account. Talks with Kim are clearly a big concern for a lot of players in the region, but Japan in particular. I asked Pottinger about that this afternoon. He said that Japan's security interests fall in line with America's national security interests. I also asked him how this idea of a peace deal between North Korea and South Korea could possibly change the calculation for the president's sit-down with Kim Jong-un, which the president said would happen either in late May or early June. Here's what Pottinger said off-camera.
He's staying in very close coordination and contact with President Moon. And at the level below the president's, there's probably a higher degree of coordination taking place than has ever taken place since the end of the Korean War. There'll be plenty of time to talk about the goals of that inter-Korean summit and how they might mesh with goals for President Trump's own.
One of the big concerns that Shinzo Abe has is that if the Korean Peninsula were denuclearized, that there might not be the need for such a big American footprint in the region, and that might reduce the security umbrella. But again, Pottinger said that Japan's security falls right in line with America's national security, so likely that Japan's security concerns will be taken into consideration. One other point that Pottinger made, there's a narrative coming out of Japan that this announcement of the possible Kim sit-down with President Trump came as a surprise. Pottinger said as close as the United States is with Japan, he doesn't see how it could have been a surprise. Dana?
And then there's the other issue in Syria. And the White House, I'm curious what they're saying about the bipartisan war authorization bill in Congress. This came up before during the Obama administration, and it seems to have new legs now.
It does, because Senators Corker and Tim Kaine of Virginia, who are on the Foreign Relations Committee, have got a new draft authorization for the use of military force, which specifically lays out the president's authorities to go after groups like Al-Qaeda, Al-Shabaab, the Taliban, and ISIS, but doesn't specifically spell out what the president could do in a case like he did over the weekend in attacking Syria. The White House does not have an official position on the new AUMF, except to say this afternoon, Dana, that they are comfortable with the current AUMF. They think that it covers everything that the president would possibly need to do. So I guess that in a way is saying we don't need a new one, and therefore we don't support the new one. But the White House only saying this afternoon they're comfortable with authorities contained in the existing AUMFs.
All right, John.
Okay, so it's done. It's pretty much a done deal, and there are security concerns from South Korea because, like I said, this is an isolated people. So we'll, you know, continue to watch and continue to see how that saga unfolds. So you got to give that to President Trump. You know, I hate the guy. I don't hate him. I just dislike him a lot because he's, and now maybe I shouldn't dislike him, but he's just very narcissistic, man. And maybe you need that when you're dealing with narcissistic psychopaths, and you know, you happen to be one. You know, that's a tough call. That's a toss up. I'll have to leave that up as a toss up. But I'd have to acknowledge as a lefty that TPP's dead. He's talking about, even after the airstrike, he's talking about, again, pulling out of Syria. Right after the airstrike, he said, we're going to get out of there now. So pulling out of Syria, getting Saudi Arabia to stop funding terrorism, and embarrassing the globalists, actually, you know, Russia with their restraint, you know. You know, Saudi Arabia getting rid of the ties with Qatar and the UAE, and that was the terrorist network through the CIA. Trump defunded the United States' role in that regard, and ISIS is pretty much defeated, and the only thing you have to deal with in Syria at this point is the Turks and the Kurdish fight in the south. And some pockets of resistance as far as terrorists are concerned in Syria. And the reconciliation thereof. As far as also with Trump, we have to give it to him with the North Korea, South Korea ending of their 65-year war. The United States had a policy of appeasement every time Kim Jong-un threatened to test nuclear weapons or fire a nuclear rocket or whatever they decided to do. We appeased them with we give them money or whatever it was. And that was just a recycled thing. And we did that over and over and over and over and over. So that's basically the situation. We just kept doing that over and over. And then, you know, all of a sudden Trump comes in, does something unorthodox, and now the war is over. So we have to give it to him. You know, I know it's bitter. It's like, why couldn't it come from someone I supported? You know, and I understand because I hate the duopoly. You know, this gives the duopoly legitimacy when he does good stuff. We like to see them do the wrong thing so that we can get rid of them because ultimately they're corrupt and they're way overdue to get rid of. But, you know, but we don't want to hurt or, you know, talk like, oh, we want the duopoly to do bad. I'm glad that these things didn't happen. I'm glad TPP didn't happen. I'm glad we didn't sign the Paris Climate Agreement. You know, that would have put us in a chokehold as far as climate change is concerned, and it wouldn't even done anything for climate change. Because all they were doing were lining their pockets up for who's going to get what when carbon is taxed. Simple as that. That's what the whole agreement was about in a nutshell. And you can go online and look for it and read it. You can read it for yourself. So that's pretty much the show, brothers and sisters. It's, again, Painted Green, Episode 5, Criminal Recommendations sent to the DOJ by the congressman, and North Korea and South Korea in their 65-year war. And we should be pulling out of Syria, depending on if the military-industrial complex wants to try to bring something else out of their sleeve. But what has happened, honestly, brothers and sisters, is that the narrative, it doesn't stick anymore. The chemical weapons, nobody believes it. That's why it didn't last. And, you know, MSM only talked about it a little bit, and you know they had to move on because nobody was believing it, and there was overwhelming amounts of people on YouTube, especially were showing like it's a hoax, it's a hoax, it's a hoax. So they have some work to do in silencing our free speech. The internet is a powerful tool to get the truth out so that we can stop things. We stopped this. We made it happen, brothers and sisters. So we are that much more closer to peace. It was a big scare with World War III in the horizon, but it looks like everything's going to start to taper back and ramp down. It's what it seems like, but we'll see what happens. So I want to thank everybody for listening in. There weren't any calls in the queue. Want to thank everybody for coming out, you know, via our different social media websites. And please listen, like, share, subscribe, view, follow, and donate. We are demonetized. We are censored. So to break the censorship, we need you to listen, like, share, subscribe, and view and follow. And we are demonetized, so we need your donations. $5 from 500 people monthly will sustain us and give us room so that we can grow. So again, thank you guys for listening in. I hope you enjoyed the show. And until we meet again at the appointed time, see you later, everybody.
I could not foresee this thing happening to you.